everyone. I'm Sandy Caldwell, and welcome back to Quilt Cabana Corner. I hope you all had a wonderful and relaxing summer. I know that I did. It was great to have all that time off with the girls and to do a little bit of traveling, and I even made it to a few quilt shops, which was fantastic in my book. So today's episode will basically be catching up from the summer. I have a magazine roundup, some news to share, and the results of the poll about what's important to us in a quilt shop, as well as some basting follies to talk about. So grab a cup of coffee and settle in, and let's get started. So first off, this summer, we did a little bit of traveling as a family. We went up to Maidstone Lake in Vermont with some friends of ours, and the kids had a wonderful time with their kids who were the same ages. And we swam in the lake, and we went out on the boat, and we ate, and we had drinks, and we just had an amazing time up there. It was really wonderful, very relaxing. We also went to the Cape for a day with my mom, and we took a harbor tour, and we visited two quilt shops while we were there. If you've been keeping up on the blog, you will have seen the pictures. We went to Heartbeat Quilts in Hyannis, and we went to Tumbleweed Quilts in West Barnstable. Both of those shops were fabulous, with loads of inventory and a great staff. It was a really, really great day, so check out the blog for that. And then we also went to California. We went back to San Diego. Our original plan for the summer vacation was to go to Washington, D.C., but somewhere in the middle of, I guess it was the beginning of July, we started thinking about how fantastic our trip to San Diego last year was, and we began to miss it a little bit. So we did some fancy footwork with booking a late trip, airlines, and hotel, and we spent 8 wonderful days back in San Diego. It was awesome. Went to Old Town and the Air and Space Museum, Balboa Park. Oh, what else did we do? I can't even remember. It was so great, though. We also, on our last day, of course, took a little trip up to Anaheim to go to Disney's California Adventure. Wouldn't be a trip for my family unless we somehow got Disney in there. But, oh yes, we also spent 2 days at SeaWorld, celebrated my daughter's 11th birthday there. We just had a fabulous time, and I would so recommend a family vacation there. There's tons to do. And I also found a little quilt shop there, and I won't even say little because it was big, and it was called The Quilt Coop. And that was located in Old Town Temecula, which we were doing a little wine tasting day, and we happened to stumble upon Old Town Temecula. And there were tons of antique shops and ice cream places. And tucked away in one little part of the main road was this quilt coop, and that was fabulous too. So get online and check them out. And our last trip for the summer was a trip that involved my mother and the girls and my Aunt Bobby and her granddaughter Melissa. And we all went to, you guessed it, Keepsake Quilting in Center Harbor, New Hampshire. And that was so much fun. Keepsake just has the best inventory. They have so many fabrics of every kind. I wish it was closer. It's probably a 3-hour drive from my house and a 2-hour drive from my mother's house, which she's closer to Boston. So that's a superb day trip if you live anywhere in the vicinity. So I also had a blog post about that as well. So you'll have to get onto my blog, quiltcabanapatterns.com/blog, and it will take you right there. And my blog did receive a little facelift this summer. I was getting a little bit tired of my coffee cup motif. So now we've got some bright paisleys going on, so don't be afraid if you get on there and you think it's not my blog. It really is. It still says Quilt Cabana Patterns, so you'll be all set when you head over to the blog. In other news, I know that you're probably all aware by now that Little Quilts for Big Occasions, which is my book with Leisure Arts, is out there for sale, and it's doing well, and I had the thrill of a lifetime last Saturday at my very first book signing, which was held at Peaceful Quilters in Middleborough. Janet is the shop owner there, and we've been talking about doing a book signing ever since the seed was planted about making a book. So it finally came to fruition last Saturday, and it was so much fun. Janet and her staff did such a wonderful job hanging all the quilts from the book, and I got to meet customers and my friends and family came, and it was truly such a great day for me. So a big thank you to Janet and to everyone who came. And I'm actually doing a second and third book signing with Janet, but at two quilt shows this time. So there'll be information about that on my blog if you live in the Massachusetts area. And another great thrill for me this summer was to see my Bootacular quilt on the cover of McCall's Quick Quilts, their October-November 2011 issue. Now, it's not the main quilt on the cover of the magazine. It is the second quilt on the cover, the smaller one, on the left-hand bottom corner, and it is called Bootacular. And you will have to check that out if you have that magazine, because I had no idea that it was going to be anywhere near the cover, which just makes it even more exciting for me. So, page 58 in that magazine, if you would like to see that. Now, also this summer, I have so much news to share. I feel like I've been away for, I don't know, years instead of months. So you'll have to bear with me through my news. My favorite author is Debbie May Comer, and I know she's probably many people's favorite author. She's written so many fantastic books, both fiction and nonfiction. Debbie is someone who I had written to, probably a few years ago. On her blog, she has a guest list where you can leave a little comment, and at that time, I was thinking about writing a fiction book. And I don't know, I just felt a connection to Debbie and wanted to share that with her. And she wrote back to me through that blog online and, you know, encouraged me in my writing. So now a few years later, I do have a book. It turned out not to be a fiction book, but the quilting book. So when the book came out, I was excited to share that news with Debbie because I had printed out her response to me and her very encouraging words and have them hung in my craft room, and they've been there for a couple of years now. So in response to my letting Debbie know, I received a handwritten note from Debbie with some tea bags of all different flavors congratulating me on my book. And I couldn't believe it. My husband went out to the mailbox, and when he came back in, he said, "You have a letter from Debbie May Comer." And I said, "Oh, it's probably one of her newsletters that she sends out, you know, about her books coming out." And he said, "No, Sandy, I think this is actually a real letter from Debbie May Comer. It's kind of lumpy." So it sure was lumpy because it was holding all those tea bags, which were very good, by the way. And it was just a lovely card congratulating me on the book. And I sent her a copy of the book, and then I received another very lovely card from her thanking me for the book and telling me that her daughter is a big quilter, and so she is giving the book to her daughter to make some projects from. So that was super exciting for me because she is a fantastic person and very high up on my list of people who I look up to. So that's my Debbie May Comer news. And I have one more piece of magazine news to share also in McCall's Quilting in their November-December issue. Now, this is the Quilting magazine, not Quick Quilts. My Snowy Dreams wall hanging will be in that issue. So if you subscribe to McCall's Quilting, you can look for that pattern in that magazine. So let's move on to, usually I do the magazine roundup first, but on my list of notes here, I actually have down the results from the poll that we put on the Big Tent discussion group and out on, I guess it was Facebook and Twitter, about things that are important to us in a quilt shop. I got lots of good answers about things that are important, and three seem to pop up over and over again. And I'm sure that you won't find this surprising, but the very first one was a quilt shop should have a good inventory. And then someone also noted that the good inventory must contain cloth that is quality. We don't want any junky inventory. We want good inventory, especially when we're being asked to pay over $10 a yard recently for these fabrics, some as high as $11.50 a yard. So a good inventory that carries quality cloth. The second thing that was very important to us was being greeted and feeling welcome. And that went hand in hand with the third one, which was an unintimidating staff. Now, I don't know what it is about some of these quilt shops we go into, But I always think of quilters as very friendly, helpful people. And I don't know, sometimes I go in and I feel intimidated in the shop as well. And I don't know if it's because I haven't been greeted and maybe owners are busy and they don't feel they need to greet people, but it sure goes a long way with me to feel welcome in the store and not like I'm intruding. Especially, you know, if there's a class going on, that's fine, and the teacher and the owner or teacher is busy with it, that's fine. But if there's a second person in the shop, it would be nice to be greeted by that person so you didn't feel like you were interrupting, so that you could feel that it is okay to be there. So, and then there are, of course, other quilt shops we go in, and the staff is fabulous, and they make you feel warm and welcome right away. So if there's any quilt shop owners out there listening, please, please greet your customers and make them feel welcome, because obviously, according to this poll, it's very important. Now, other items on the list, not necessarily in any order, was that the store must be neat. The store should have chairs for non-quilters, and some people said even a TV. I was in a scrapbook store once, and they had what they called the man cave, with leather couch and a big screen TV for the husbands and children who got dragged along. Also, bathrooms were high on the list, and that's definitely very high for me, because a lot of times you have to travel to these quilt shops quite a way, and of course, like, you know, all of us, the minute we get somewhere, we need to use the restroom, so having bathrooms is very important. Also on the list, we're having good displays and samples. I think we pretty much all agree that when you see a sample of a pattern, it really does it justice. You see it, you see how it's made, and you make your decision on whether or not to purchase the pattern on how the sample looks. So lots of displays and samples. There should not be any pets in the store or smelly scented items like candles or incense. Nobody really wants to go home with their expensive fabric that has, you know, dog or cat hair on it, or, you know, a smell that you can't get to wash out of the fabric. And sometimes our fabrics are used without being washed. So then, I know that's a no-no, tisk tisk, but sometimes it's true, we do that. So we don't want them to smell of anything. And also aisles that are wide enough for walkers, wheelchairs, and baby carriages. There's nothing worse, I guess, than going in a store and not being able to move around, and you certainly don't want to have to carry a baby on your hip and three bolts of fabric on the other hip. So that is what we found important, and I thought that those were all really great responses, so thank you to everyone who participated in the poll. I had mentioned in my last podcast before we broke for the summer that I was interested in reading Marie Bostwick's books on her quilt series. She has four books currently out, and I did read the first two. I believe they were called A Single Thread and A Thread of Truth. And I've been introduced to this wonderful cast of characters, and it centers around a quilt shop, of course. They seem to run a similar vein to Debbie Macomber's Blossom Street books, which center around a knitting shop and the classes that happen there and the building of the characters. It's really women's fiction, which I absolutely love, and if it has to do with quilting, even better. So those books, they were fabulous, and I think she was interviewed by Pat Sloan recently and probably Mark Lipinski as well. So definitely worth a look, and I will read the other two and give you my report on those when I'm finished with that. So the other thing that went on this summer that I was going to speak about in the podcast was my, I guess you would call it a basting folly. And this has to do with the June Taylor basting spray. I have always used the June Taylor basting spray with no problem. It is tacky enough and it can be repositioned. You know, it smells a little, but I'm pretty sure they all do. You need good ventilation. And as I said, I was using them without any problem. Until recently when they redesigned the can. The can now, when you shake it, sounds like spray paint with that little ball rolling around. And when I went to use it for the first few times with the brand new can, that basting spray was so sticky, I couldn't work with it. It was folding and making the fabric fold onto itself. It was all over my fingernails, really nasty. And I thought, oh my gosh, is this having to do with the new can? So I sent June Taylor's customer service an email, and I explained to them that I think that there's something up with the formula or with the new can, but that it's just can't work with it. And they very nicely sent me a reply that said I was the second person to complain of the same thing, but that they've been unable to replicate the problem in the laboratory, and they would send me a new can free of charge to try. So a few days later, I did receive the new can, and it's, you know, the current new can design. And unfortunately, I had the same problem with it. Too sticky, can't work with it, just felt like I wasted my money. So I did send another email to them because I felt that they should know, and I'm sure I'm not the only one having the problem. In fact, I know of a few other people who are also having the problem. Letting them know that they need to work on replicating the problem because it, again, is just too sticky to work with. So I am waiting to hear back from them, but it made me start to think about basting and how much I hate basting. I have basted with pins. I have basted with spray. I have used my Flynn frame and not had to baste at all, which of course is marvelous. But if you're working in something smaller on your domestic machine, you really do need to baste. So I started looking into quilt basting guns and fusible batting. Now my mom happened to say that she had some fusible batting. We grabbed the package here. It is a June Taylor product, and I almost wish it wasn't so that I could be reporting on not two June Taylor items, because this stuff didn't work very well at all, and I really hate to, you know, have two items on this podcast that I'm not thrilled with by one company. But this was the Low Loft Polyester Quilters Fusible Batting, and this was the small size. I'm not sure how much this goes for. My mother had purchased it, so I'm not exactly sure how much, but I'm sure it's probably $10 or more. And you are supposed to secure your quilt layers with the heat and steam of your iron, ideal for hand or machine quilting, and the fusible may be washed out after quilting. So I set out to test this and see what would happen. So I took a 12x12, actually it was probably bigger, a little bigger, maybe 14x14 square. I made my quilt sandwich. I followed the directions to heat the iron to the wool setting, maximum steam. I pressed the quilt layers from the center to the outside edges. I held the iron in place for 3 to 4 seconds with a burst of steam. I did repeat on the back of the quilt. And what I found was none of it stuck together. I was very disappointed because as I was sitting there using my steam and doing this, I thought, hey, this is actually pretty good for smaller projects. There's no odor to it or anything like that, which I thought was great. But I did notice when I was unrolling the batting from the package, it is also not a consistent thickness. And I also had the thought of, will I mess up my iron because some of the batting was a little larger than my, you know, quilt top, obviously, because that's how you're supposed to do it. And it actually did not make a mess on my iron. I was very worried about that. It really didn't. It had a little white to it, and it just wiped off quickly. So that's a very good thing. This business about it not being consistent thickness, I didn't really love that. And I thought, oh, maybe I haven't unfolded it all the way. But I had. So I think that that's just odd because no one wants their batting thickness to be, you know, fuller in one place and real skimpy on another. And I had to redo the pressing of it several times. And then recently when my mother came down, I held up the quilt sandwich and the whole back of it was falling off. So unfortunately, I cannot recommend that product. What I can recommend is the quilt basting gun, because I decided to try that. And having said all that about the basting spray of the June Taylor, I know that there are other sprays out there, the 505 and other stuff that works. And if you're having great luck with those, that's terrific. Stick with them. I just happen to like the June Taylor because it was a little less expensive. Oh, and I also had read online someone had said to try Aquanet, the hairspray, the big, you know, hairspray everybody used many moons ago. People still use it. It is super cheap, and it was unscented, whoever had posted on their blog about it said it didn't stain anything, so I went out to Walmart, and for $1.94, I bought a gigantic can. And I have to say, for being unscented, it really has a stinky odor to it. So I wasn't thrilled about that, and I put together a quilt sandwich, and it didn't hold the layers either. It peeled away very easily, sort of just like the fusible quilt batting, so... I will say it does hold my hair good because I don't want to waste my $1.94 can of Aquanet. So I am using it on my hair. It holds good, but it really doesn't smell all that great. So a little squirt of perfume and you're all set. Anyways, back to the quilt basting gun. I looked around online and saw several, and QuiltTac was the maker of the gun that got the best reviews. However, I did not want to have to wait for a delivery, and I did not want to have to pay shipping on one. So I did go to Joann's with a coupon, and I got my Dritz quilt basting gun for $15. It's normally $29. It came with 500 of the little tags, and I looked, and the refills are like $5. The replacement needle is like $2 or $5 or something, so very reasonable at Joann's. And I used it on a quilt that was 24 by 24, and I used about 30 of the little tags. And if you're not sure what I'm talking about, if you can envision when you go in a clothing store and the price tags have that little plastic piece that they're attached to the clothing with little almost like a little tag on each end so that it stays in the fabric and doesn't fall out. And the gun is small, and there's no smell, obviously. I can do this on my ironing board. I have that big board, so for the size wall hangings that I use, I can do it right on that. So I don't have to be on my hands and knees on the floor. I was worried that it was going to make holes in my fabric. That's my big concern. I'm going to get my quilt done, and I'm going to, you know, use 30 of these little tacks, and then I'm going to have holes. So at least with the gun that I'm using, you put the needle through the layers and you squeeze the trigger, and it puts the tacks happen to be red so you can see them really well. And it holds it together very well. I can easily push them to the side when I'm stitching. I did stitch over a few and it wasn't a problem. They just slid out. The downside, I guess, would be that you have to remove these, just like a safety pin, but just a little snip of the scissors, and that was very simple. And then as far as the holes went, when the needle goes down, it moves a fiber over. It's not ripping your quilt, it's just moving a fiber over to fit the tag through. And what I did afterwards, following the directions, I took a little damp cloth, and I just went over each little pinhole, front and back, and you cannot even tell. And on some of the spots of the quilt where the tag had gone through, you know, a print and you couldn't even see the little mark, I just left it. But overall, I would have to say I'm extremely pleased with the Dritz quilt basting gun. So if it's something you're considering, I would recommend it, absolutely. So that was my whole basting experience this summer. And let's see, I guess next on my list of notes is the magazine roundup. So let's head on over and do that. So we'll keep the magazine roundup brief because I can see that my podcast running time is getting up there, and I don't like to make them too long because I know people don't have a lot of time to sit and listen to one podcast, especially when there are so many great podcasts out there. So we'll start off with Fonz and Porter's Love of Quilting. And this is the September-October issue, and under their So Many Tips section on page 8, someone had a fantastic idea for English paper piecing. I know a lot of us do English paper piecing with the hexagons, and what they show is a hexagon that is paper pieced, actually it's two, and they're right sides together, and there's a binder clip on them. And this person from Michigan, Julia, says, a binder clip works well for English paper piecing grandmother's flower garden units. The clip holds the hexagons together while I stitch. That's a great idea to put a little binder clip on it while you're sewing them together. Really holds them in place and you can keep your stitches even. And another person had written that they scan pretty fabric and print it on paper to use in their scrapbooking projects. Thought that was a great idea as well. And on page 25, there is the most beautiful quilt called Fairfield Blue. It showcases a Lemoyne star in the center and is surrounded by flying geese units in multiple borders. And all the colors in this quilt are sort of like a very light turquoise and green. And it just absolutely reminds me of the beach. And it was quilted by Lisa DeBee Schiller. Oh, that's who designed it. And it was machine quilted by Sandra Sony. Gorgeous, gorgeous quilt. And that is on page 25. And in McCall's Quick Quilts, the August-September issue, on page 20, there's a beautiful blue and white quilt called Pacific Blue, and it fuses fabric circles on these big white blocks. And it has the look of, I want to say they call it like Delft blue. It's when you see like a beautiful vase, and it's white, and it has all the pretty blue flowers on it. It's very similar to that, and it's really striking. And this one was designed by Toby Preston, and they offer a kit. On page 29 is a quilt called Buttermilk, which was made with scrappy blocks, and it's mostly a yellow quilt with different greens and blues, and the fabric's a little retro, and it's a quick nine patch, really, all put together, and it just makes you want to snuggle up with that quilt. It looks so warm and inviting. And lastly, in this magazine, on page 62, is a tween quilt called ILYSM, which is supposed to be, you know, cell phone text code for I love you so much. And the quilt has X's and O's all over it. And when I first looked at it, I didn't like it. I thought, oh, I don't really like that. Then I thought how much a tween would actually really love that quilt. And it's pictured with a young girl on her laptop and her magazines are spread around in her beanbag chair. And I thought, you know what, that's actually perfect for a tween or a teen. So that was on page 62. In the fall 2011 Fonz and Porter Easy Quilts magazine, the quilt that is on the cover, which also happens to be on page 16, is adorable. It's a fall one with candy corn all over it. And it is really, really cute. Let me just see if I can find out who designed that one. It would be perfect for Halloween. This was quilted by Debbie Beeves. Quilt by Debbie Beeves. Machine quilted by Melissa Smith. And it has prairie points going all around. And it is the Halloween candy border. It's just really cute. On page 9, there's a little advertisement from Quilters Club of America. And it says, start working on that room addition. When the quilting genie grants me one wish, it will be for what? And their little poll said 20% of people said it would be for the sewing machine of my dreams. 13.7% said all the fabric I could possibly desire. 39.9% said a bright, roomy sewing studio. And 26.3% said all the time in the world to quilt. Can't argue with any of those. All right, jumping over to page 39 is a quilt called Bountiful, which is designed by Nancy Mahoney. She's the one who, she's got so many quilts. I was going to say she was the one with the yellow brick road, but actually that was Terry Atkins. But Nancy Mahoney has many, many beautiful quilts in magazine after magazine. And this one is no exception. It's a table topper and it has a beautiful print that has grapes and pears and strawberries going all around it and are really vibrant purples and cranberries and browns, and you could choose a print to coordinate with your own table setting, it says. And it has a beautiful square in the middle, and then it has half square triangle borders. It's just beautiful, and it was quilted really nice too. So check that out on page 39. And then last in this magazine is a quilt by Julie Boehringer, who I actually have had a few emails with. She had written a book with Leisure Arts, so I had contacted her to find out how it all went. And her quilt here is called Dive Into Fall, and it's adorable. It's small and a lot of blanket stitch, very similar to things that I do with the fusible applique. and it's a pile of leaves, and you see 2 feet with 2 sneakers sticking out of it, and the feet sticking out of it on the sneakers and are actual shoelaces. So it's really cute, and they display it on one of those Ackfield wire hangers with acorns and leaves. So really adorable. Really, really cute. And for the last magazine, which is the McCall's Quilting September-October issue, on page 14, they answer a question in their McCall's question and answer section. And although we all hate to think about it, it was a very interesting question, which read, "Emergency evacuation is ordered. Your sewing machine, pressing and cutting tools, and fabrics for a current project are already safe in your car. What 5 other items from your quilt room do you take with you?" And the questions were answered by the staff at Creative Crafts Group, which does McCall's Quilting, Quick Quilts, and many others. So I thought it was really interesting to see what people would say that they had to grab out of their craft room, because, gosh, I have no idea. You know, I have so many quilting items I love, but all my scrapbooks are in there too. Years and years worth of scrapbooks and photos. So for me, I would have to say that would definitely be right up there. But let's say, for instance, here, Beth Hayes, she's the editor. She says her hand applique toolbox, because I know she's really into English paper piecing, and that watching a video with her demonstrating is how I learned to English paper piece. Someone else said their iMac and their favorite Ginger scissors. Kathy Patterson wrote her UFOs and all of her Aurifil thread. And let's see, someone else wrote a frame photo they had in a closet door design wall that holds her fish quilt and a passport just in case. A lot of people were bringing their cats. I guess people have the cats hang out in their craft rooms. Someone else said my mom's sewing basket, which was full of old thread and snaps, and an antique cross-stitch pin cushion. Someone else wrote their computer and their stash fabrics. Another person said their journal of ideas. That would be a really good one to get out of there. And chocolate, of course. Someone else mentioned chocolate as well. And someone said a box of photos covering 20 plus years of friends and quilts. And the last person said, in addition to the chocolate, a pile of quilt tops and her felted wool bowl of notions. So that's something to think about. If you, you know, like they said, the sewing machine, the pressing cutting tools, and the fabrics for your current project are already safe, what else would you try to save? So something to think about. And on page 57, Ann Weber has designed a beautiful quilt called Buttons in Bloom. It says, "Brighten a corner with this cheerful throw. Compliments are sure to follow. It's a quilt that's homey enough for comfort, yet distinctive enough to be truly memorable." And it looks like a blue and white checkerboard set on point, and then it has very pretty flowers all around the outside of the quilt. And the center of the flowers are buttons, which drew my eye to it because I thought that was cute. Again, that's page 56, 57. And lastly is an adorable quilt called I Believe in Pink with, let's see, it says cotton candy, blush, rose, carnation, cherry, flamingo, bubblegum, cerise, fuchsia, magenta. We love every shade of pink. Dip into your stash and let yourself be a little girl again as you stitch this very feminine wall hanging. And again, it's some squares set on point, but it's full of very whimsical flowers and butterflies. And the butterflies have a little trail after them. And this was done by Charlotte Angotti and Linda Poole. So that was that for that magazine. And that about wraps up our magazine roundup. And I thank you very much for joining me today on Quilt Cabana Corner. It's nice to be back. I hope you all are having a great start to fall. And I'll just give you some information where you can reach me. My website is www.quiltcabanapatterns.com. You can link to the online Etsy store and the blog. My book is Little Quilts for Big Occasions, which you can purchase on my online Etsy store. It's also on Amazon and several other online stores. And Katie Ringo, Quilted Magnolia, sent me a photo on Twitter the other day that she saw my book at a Joann store in Tampa, Florida. So You can also buy the book at Joann's. Again, it's 7 great wall hangings for every holiday, and the book is $9.95. So for not too much money, you can have a great book of holiday quilts that are perfect size for gift giving and make up very easily with blanket stitch and fusible applique. So thank you again, and we will see you next time on Quilt Cabana Corner. Bye-bye.